to blame. Oh my god. Oh my god. I didn't tell you. One of the choices for the playlist is that song, The Get Up by Blanco Brown or something.
Mm-hmm.
The one from TikTok. It's like, gonna two-step, get the keyboard. And I'm like, Susan, what are you doing?
That's so funny. She's on TikTok.
It's so funny.
Actually, the woman who walks like the different types of food.
Oh my god, how funny is that woman?
It's just such a weird world we live in.
So funny. I like that all of the comments are like kind of supportive. They're like, you do you, girl. You do you.
Yeah.
It cracks me up.
It's very funny.
Oh man. We live in a society.
That we do.
Hello, welcome to Pop Culture Parsha,
where we irreverently discuss reverent texts.
I feel like we have a strong brand now, because there's a screenshot going around. You know the Instagram page called Depths of Wikipedia?
No.
It's this woman who like posts screenshots of like really just like obscure random Wikipedia pages and titles, and it's really funny.
Love that.
And one of the ones she posted like 2 days ago is a screenshot, and like the title is Judaism in Rugrats, and then it has a like, I think it's Caravaggio has a thing of like Akedat Yitzchak, and it compares that to the scene in the Rugrats movie where he's pouring the banana food onto Dill, and I'm like, And so, like, it's just, like, a really funny, like, just the way it's all framed. And I think about that at least once a day, because, like, I have obviously gone through the Rugrats Wikipedia page quite often.
Yeah.
But then someone sent it to me, like, someone, like, one of my friends from uni, who's like, I saw this and thought of your podcast.
Oh,
and
my gosh. Like, hell yeah, you did. We're famous.
Hell yeah, you did. Speaking of which, we should really do the Rugrats for something.
I know.
We can do, like, a Hanukkah special and do the Rugrats.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
File it away for December.
Or we could do the Hebrew Hammer. We'll figure it out. We can discuss this off mic.
Yeah. We do our best planning on mic. Not advisable.
We are back in person for the last time.
Aww, it's so sad.
With our nice mics for the last time.
Maybe we'll get nicer mics.
Maybe. If anyone wants to sponsor our nice mics.
Nice mics.
Yeah.
You know, like that movie Like Mike.
But Nice Mikes.
Nice Mikes.
I loved that movie. I knew nothing about Michael Jordan or basketball.
Yeah.
But I was like, this orphan and his sneakers, good for him, you know?
In the new season of Stranger Things, there's a whole thing about basketball in the first episode.
Yeah.
And it's just putting a ball through a hoop.
When you break it down to its fundamentals, yes.
I mean, I have this theory that all sports are just like, it's just this like human thing of like, have you ever seen, okay, when you see like small children playing and they're like, look how fast I can run. And the other one's like, look how fast I can run. And so it's just all sports can be boiled down to like, well, I can hit this ball and run around this circle before you can get the ball.
Human competition, right? Like,
I can jump over this pole. Higher. Hold on, let me fix this. I can jump over this pole. I can jump over the pole if it's higher. Well, I can do it without touching it. If you knock it down, it doesn't count.
It's also astute observation, first of all.
Thank you.
I think people listen to this podcast for your take on sports.
Yeah.
That's why they tune in every
As
week.
Guy Branum says, wearing different colors isn't a reason to fight.
That's literally... Everyone fights because they wear different colors. Think about gangs.
But that's what I'm saying. That's wearing different colors isn't a reason to fight.
I can't even remember who I was speaking to. Like, America has this fascination with college sports, right? This is what I really don't understand. Like, people, it's treated as seriously as, like, the main event is treated.
Mm-hmm.
College basketball, college football. Like, these are, like, huge things. And, like, they have, a whole following outside mm-hmm. of the regular football and basketball. And I asked them, I was like, what's up with that? Like, that is so weird. Like, I would never, like, why? I don't understand. And they said, it's really interesting. Like, a lot of the times you watch, like, professional basketball, And it's not as interesting because the players are like really good and have honed all of their skills. And so like there's not as much like mistakes being made.
Mm.
But like that's the thing that draws them into the college stuff, because these are still all players. Like they're really good, obviously, but like they're still
like new.
New, and they're like haven't been trained with like the best of the best yet. And it's like they fumble more, and that makes for a more interesting game.
That is very insightful.
Yeah.
Still not that interested in no. college sports.
I'm not like I don't get the whole college sport thing. Like, my friend played sport in uni, and we made fun of her for it. Like, she was on like I don't know the lacrosse team or something, and like went to or hockey. No, she was on the field hockey team at our university, and like we were just like, well, you play hockey, blah 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 blah. Like, it's not the same. It's not the same.
I mean, having never been on a in a team sport in my life.
Never played a team sport?
No, I did ballet. That's not true. I did soccer when I was little, but then I gave it up to, yeah, but then I gave it up to do more ballet.
Okay.
Then I gave that up too, and then I did taekwondo for a while.
That's not a team sport.
I swam for a while, but never really on a team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I played netball, as most young Australian women do.
And how is it different from basketball?
You can't, the court split up differently, so certain players are only allowed in certain parts of the court.
Okay.
You can't move when you're holding the ball. You have to like stop on the spot, and there's no backboard for the hoop.
Interesting.
And it's like a different size, it's like different rules, like you can't like different like space Jesus Christ different space you have to have between like you and the other players. And
cool,
it's a good it's good fun, it's a good game.
I'm so happy for you.
Again, our viewers tune in to listen to our sports takes.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the thing that we both ignored and like said it once. Like, where this is the last time in person.
What kind of emotional.
We remember. I just want to like say it for the fact of like, cut us some slack if we can't find recording. Like, you're moving to a different country with all of your stuff and your partner and two cats, and like I'm doing the same in 2 weeks except minus the partner and the two cats.
Yeah.
And like, just give us some slack if for some reason we have to miss a week.
Yeah. Yes, thanks. Also, little burps.
Also little burps. Also, like, if sound is different, because like we're going to be recording on our computers without, we've been using Pirates as like fancy mic setup for like this whole time.
Yeah.
So if it sounds different, it's because we're going back to tiny mic and AirPod mics.
I wonder where my tiny mic is.
You lost your tiny mic?
I don't. I'm so tiny. It's just hard to keep track of. I'm so
disappointed in you. We went purposefully to buy those.
I think I know where it is.
Okay. Anyway.
But yeah. So yeah, you're right.
Either cut us some slack or buy us some like good mics that we can use.
Yeah, this is on you now, listeners. Yeah. Not
little
on burps. Us.
Little burps, little mics.
Little mics.
Wow. Oh, wait. Ouch. Partial moment, pop culture moment.
You start, because you said you had one.
Well, my one is, it happened this week. It's mm-hmm. fresh off the boat. So Britney Spears got married, and I was reading headlines like yesterday. Paris Hilton.
Mm.
Got an invite to DJ for Joe Biden and other world leaders and turned it down to go to Britney Spears' wedding because that was more important to her. And I just think that's lovely.
Everything about that is hysterical.
The fact that Paris Hilton was going to DJ, full stop. The fact that Paris Hilton was going to DJ for Joe Biden and other world leaders.
Right.
It's just so funny to me. And I just feel like it's a culmination of everything that we stand for here at Pop Culture Partial.
And like, also, what was Paris Hilton going to play for that? Like, what kind of a DJ set?
I have no idea. Would this have been? Dear Mr. President, the whole time, just nothing but that.
Yeah, I just like cannot imagine. Yeah, and also then like, who was the backup? Like, did they just not have a musical act or?
No, I think she was the DJ.
No, she wasn't, because she went to Britney Spears' wedding.
Yeah. Oh, she was going to be the DJ.
So who did they get instead?
I don't know.
They got Samantha Biden. Ronson.
Oh my God, Sam Ronson, DJ.
That's literally the only other DJ I can think of. Pauly D.
I was thinking like David Guetta, Calvin Harris, or the guy who used to be on David Dobrik's
Skrillex.
Not
no.
Skrillex.
I know that's not who you're talking about. I don't know who you're talking about.
David Dobrik, DJ friend. Dylan Francis.
Oh, yeah.
Classic. Anyway.
Didn't Calvin Harris, who's the one that died?
That was Avicii.
Avicii.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. For real.
He was great. What's your pop culture moment?
My pop culture moment is, okay, this is kind of a weird cut is what I'm going to call it. It's not a deep cut. I saw a TikTok that was this Australian woman in bed.
Okay.
And it's like she's watching Gossip Girl on her laptop in bed. Mm-hmm. And then like it pans over and her mom like comes in. Her mom's like all dressed, wearing like a pair of heels, like, and she brings her this like beautiful fruit bowl for mm-hmm. breakfast. And then she goes over and like opens the window and she's like, hello, darling. Like, whatever. She's like, I'm about to go play tennis. I'm in a rush. But like, your father and I are thinking about flying down to Sydney today.
Okay.
Do you want to come with us? And she's like, oh, maybe in a couple of days I'll come join you. And then she's like, okay, well, I'm off to tennis. So it was just like, number one, just this young woman who lives in the lap of luxury, apparently. Yeah. And that her mother brings her this like beautiful cut fruit yeah. breakfast every morning. But then also that she was watching Gossip Girl right after she woke up on her laptop in her bed. Like, I'm she doesn't confused. Have a TV in her room if she's that rich. And yeah, and why Gossip Girl? That was the whole thing. I was like, it's very strange.
It is strange.
Whose like comfort show is Gossip Girl?
That's a good question. That's a lot to take in.
Yeah. I didn't send it to you.
Yeah, can you?
Yeah, I'll go see if I can find it again.
A lot of TikTok confuses me.
Yeah, it was a very funny video. I thought I sent it to you because they were Australian, but then maybe I did the opposite where I was like, Shoshana doesn't want to just see a TikTok because it's Australian people.
Sometimes I do.
But yeah, I had a lot of questions for that young woman as to why she was watching Gossip Girl reruns with all of the TV that's out there in the world.
So a lot of people, I found their comfort meme, not necessarily like their TV show, but their comfort meme is that one meme from Gossip Girl. The Go Piss Girl. Have you seen that meme?
Uh-uh.
It is maybe the funniest thing. You have to look up Go Piss. Like, you have to maybe don't Google those words exactly. But I feel like if you looked up Go Piss Girl, Gossip Girl meme, it's so funny.
I have seen this. It's very funny.
Yeah. My favorite part of this podcast is just the silence while we both Google things to see what we're talking about.
I like this one. It's a cat and then it says pss, 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 pss.
Yeah. the Go Piss Girl one is just so classic and I find myself thinking it all the time.
Go Piss Girl.
Yeah. Like when someone goes to the bathroom, I'm always torn. Like my brain is torn between saying have fun or saying go piss girl.
Yeah. Yarden mm-hmm. always says do your thing.
No. Go Piss Girl. I'm going to start saying that more. okay, this week's Parsha.
Yeah, tell us about this week's Parsha, Shoshana.
Baha'alotecha. That's the one. It's a long word. Sorry, I'm just getting texts from Calm, our best friend. So a lot of things happen in this week's Parsha. We're sort of like shifting again back into narrative. There's more narrative.
Yeah.
But we start off with still some more commandments about the tabernacle service. Shout out to the person who messaged me and was like, I fight for my life every single day when I have to pronounce the word tabernacle because in my head I only hear your pronunciation. And I'm like, I'm doing God's work.
You're doing literally.
I am doing God's work by making everyone hear tabernacle when they read that word in their head.
We're about to go be Jewish educators out in the world. And yeah. Like, are you going to say that to your students?
I had to say it in class in Chicago when we did student teaching. And I like had to pause every time I said it and said it the proper way, which I refuse to do on this podcast.
Right.
But also what happened.
But you do agree that there is a proper and not proper
I
way.
No, I don't. Apparently it's a thing in like churches. I guess it's what they call like their Aron Kodesh is the tabernacle. And one got stolen in New York and all of these headlines were like tabernacle stolen. And I like laughed every time because I kept saying it like tabernacle.
Yeah. Know?
Maybe my best recurring bit.
I'd like to see like a SpongeBob version of the, a SpongeBob themed
Mishkan.
Aron would be... Lovely. I would love to see it because, you know, they always do a really nice job of like an under the sea theme.
Under the sea.
They do such a nice job on that TV show. Shout out to all our friends who are making SpongeBob. But also I was going to say, like, you know, like a Rugrats leaving, like, Exodus episode, but like a SpongeBob Exodus crossover.
Interesting. I'd watch that. Like when the sea splits and then it zooms into the ocean and then SpongeBob's just there.
Like dried out, yeah. You know, like whenever they like are out of the water and it's like just a yellow sponge.
That'd be really funny.
Yeah. Sandy's Miriam.
Nice.
Patrick is our own.
Nice.
And SpongeBob's obviously Moshe.
And Mr. Krabs is Pharaoh. Because he just wants the workers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then who's Squidward?
Plankton.
Who's Squidward?
Squidward is the 70 elders in this week's Parsha.
Nice.
Thank you so much.
I was going to say he could have been like Korach or was it the heir of Rav, like the group of like Egyptians who like left Egypt with them and then caused trouble.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can discuss this later. This is a very important discussion. Claire, I know you're listening. You probably have many thoughts about this too. So let's go quick. Okay. So we have more information about like what to do in the tabernacle service. So they have to light the menorah daily. And then the Kohanim, and I always forget this part and it freaks me out. They have to like shave their bodies and also go to the mikveh and also offer certain sacrifices as part of like the initial initiation service, which is just crazy to me. Anyway, and then it has the whole story of like, it's a year after the Exodus. And I'm sorry, Valerie, am I boring you? You're on your phone already.
No, Shoshana, I'm listening. Jesus, I'm trying to multitask because I just had this thought that like, you're interrupting yourself. Anyway. I wanted to see if I can access the story that I posted where we asked for people for their hot takes because I really didn't do anything to take note of that.
Oh.
And now I'm feeling stressed. And so I was looking. I got it.
Good. Okay. Right there. So it's the year after the Exodus. And so they have to bring the Korban Pesach, the Pesach offering, to commemorate it. And there's a bunch of people who can't do it because they're ritually impure. And so then they institute the laws. They institute the laws of Pesach Sheni. And that happens like a month after regular Pesach. And there's a whole bunch of stuff in it, those laws. Then it takes a little second to talk about the cloud and the fire that accompany Bnei Israel through the desert. And then it talks about the silver trumpets that get blown to call everyone together when they have to leave where they are, when they go to war, or when they give certain sacrifices, that like a multitasked trumpet. I think it's also interesting, we're only a year out from the Exodus and Matan Torah, so like it's at this point where you realize that there's like sort of like weird timing in like all of Shemot essentially from Exodus through to now, so that's like an entire it's almost two books, right? Because it's all of Vayikra, it's like most of Shemot, and it's like the beginning of Bamidbar. It's all in the space of a year, and that's just wackadoo. Anyway, and then Moshe's like, Yisrael, come with us, please. And then he does, and he goes back home. Obviously, they complain about everything all the time, Bnei Israel. Like the second that they have to leave from the base of Sinai, they just, everything sucks. Then
that stiff-necked people can't live with them and then can't live without them.
And then that's literally Hashem is like, can't live
without them. I really staked my fortune on this group. And
one second. Cool. And then what happens is they, Moshe like gathers 70 elders to sort of give them a certain amount of prophecy to help him like with his guy, like, so he's not the only leader, right? It's like the same as like the dissemination of like judgment and whatever. So like he's trying to give this prophecy to 70 elders so that like they can help with like ruling and judging and all of that stuff with the nation. And then there's two guys named Eldad and Medad, and they don't go and they stay in the camp, but God still gives them prophecy. And then it's like a bit of a there's broigus because Yeshua doesn't like that. And, like, that whole thing happens. It's a lot. And it's not what we're focusing on. So I'm trying to, like, move past it.
Although
quickly.
It does, there are some people, Mefarshim, who say that it affects the scene that we're going to talk about.
Yes.
We can talk about that in a minute when we get there.
And then people eat quail because, like, they're desperate for, like, meat. That's part of their complaining.
Yeah.
And so they eat it. It says, like, everyone who ate it very gluttonously, like, who, like, ate a bunch of it, they all die in a plague.
From meat sweats.
And that's and it's literally, like, just sort of, like, skipped over. I feel like there's lots of plagues in the desert that we don't talk about.
Yeah.
That God's just like, you did that wrong. Like, goodbye.
Yeah.
And then, and this is the big part, is chapter 12 of Bamidbar, the end of this week's parsha.
Bamidbar 12.
Is that Miriam, it seems, talks shit about Moshe to Aharon. And then she's punished with Sarat from God. And then God, like, literally calls her and he's like, you're going to talk shit about my best friend.
Yeah.
Like, God's mad. And then she gets Sarat, so she has to get sent outside of the camp. And then the whole camp waits for her before they move on. That part always hits me. I'm like, I love it. I think it just shows, like, the reverence that you have for, like, certain characters that you don't necessarily see the rest of the time. But, like, just that, like, that line at the end of, like, the camp waited for her to come back before they left.
Right.
I really like.
It's interesting, like, because you could read it in, like, a benign way. So it's interesting that you read this, like, into that.
Well, I think it's purposefully like that, right? Like, it is in a benign way. It doesn't make a whole, like, pomp and circumstance about the fact that they stayed behind because they loved her. It's just, like, certain things. It's the small things you do to care for someone that, like, in your life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you get them their favorite, I don't know, food because, like, you walk past it or you see something that might, like, it's like one of those things where it's like, it's just, of course we're going to wait for Miriam. It's like such a benign thing, but it's like filled with so much love and, like, reverence for her as a person.
Totally.
And I love that. What are we watching? And that's the parasha that I've done three different sound bites for you.
So we watched Gossip Girl.
Yeah, we did.
Season 1, episode 13. It's called A Thin Line Between Chuck and Nate. And the blurb here says, Dan is shocked when rumors begin to circulate that Serena has been spotted buying a pregnancy test and resolves to stand by her no matter what. Elsewhere, Nate is furious when he finds out about Blair and Chuck's affair, and Blair's life crashes down around her when others also find out what happened.
I will say, as someone who, like, only watched Gossip Girl, like, peripherally, like, I only watched it for the first time a few years ago, and even then I made it halfway through season one and then didn't watch any of the rest of it. I was a bit lost for a lot of the time. I never reached this point in the story, so I didn't, like, really understand the dynamics. But, so, like, I enjoy it.
Yeah,
like, the acting's fine and, like, everyone's, like, nice to look at, except for Ed Westwick.
I saw you put that.
That is a toad-looking man, and everyone pretended he was so hot. And I'm like, this man looks like ass, and he wears a thin scarf. Don't try and gaslight me into thinking he's good-looking.
I think in later seasons he is good-looking. They do not do him any favors because there's, like, the books are just very different than the TV show. And I think, like, at some point they decided that he should also be a likable character.
Interesting.
And so he, like, becomes more good looking later on, but in the books in the beginning he's, like, a very seedy character and nobody likes him.
Interesting. I'm also,
although Dan is also kind of a creepy character in the books as well. So that's what I also
wrote, right? That, like, this week, last week and this week is, like, the cinematic universe in which Penn Badgley plays, like, kind of a cute but, like, really creepy guy.
Yeah.
And that includes Easy A, it includes this, it includes you.
Mm.
It includes...
There's, like, a spectrum there.
Exactly.
I think this falls in the middle.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Like, again...
Well, because actually in the books, he really does stalk Serena. Like, he has, like, an obsession with her. Yeah, yeah. He has, like, an obsession with her.
Spoiler alert, but the fact that he's Gossip Girl...
Yeah.
...makes no sense with this episode because he finds out his girlfriend's pregnant through Gossip Girl.
Right. Well... Yeah, you could say that he had to act surprised when he saw it because he, like, otherwise would have revealed to his sister and his dad.
But he could have also been like...
I think that, like, Gossip Girl is kind of like an amalgamation, right? Because it's like people both report, like, Gossip Girl has information, but then also people send information to Gossip Girl.
I had so many questions. Is it a text list? Like, is it a text chain? Is it a website? Is it a listserv? Because, like, everyone's, like, he texts Gossip Girl. Like, Chuck texts Gossip Girl some news. And so people keep getting things on their phone. But at the same time, there's a whole website that has the Gossip Girl website. So is it a website that, like, you can anonymously upload your gossip? Or is it, like, you send it directly to Gossip Girl? Like, how, like, what are the, what's the functionality of Ms. Gossip?
Yeah, I don't know. I think there is. I think there's two components. I think there is like a text blast. Okay. Or maybe it's just like, you're right. That was always unclear to me as well. I think maybe it's like you like subscribe and then like you get like push note. It's essentially a push notification, right. But it just sends it as a text message to your phone whenever there's an update. But then there's also like a website that gets updated at the same time.
And I think also, because here's the thing, again, like I peripherally like read a lot about Gossip Girl because it was like big in the news all the time.
Right.
But I never actually watched it. And like the whole thing is that her younger brother, Serena's younger brother, was supposed to originally be Gossip Girl. Right. But then like the New York Times like wrote an article about how they thought it was him or something. And so then they just like completely changed it.
Well, it's the same with like Pretty Little Liars and like that, who is A, yeah, right?
But like in this episode, like I think you can really see that it was supposed to be him. Because there's a line of dialogue where she's like, but I only told Dan. And then he says, do you know how many times like I've overheard your conversations? Right. And it's like, well, that's a bit shady, buddy. Like,
right.
But yeah, I don't know. He also looks, and again, I wrote this in my notes, like he looks like he has sickly vibes. And I can't remember if that's part of his character. Like he looks like he's a terminally ill little boy.
I think he is. No. I feel like there is something like that.
Like he has Tiny Tim vibes.
He was sick or like suicidal or like something, like he's part of the reason that Serena originally comes back, right? She had like left the scene and then she returned.
Like if this was set in like the 1800s, he would just be like, you know what I want? Like he wouldn't have a diagnosis. He'd just be like the sickly one, like very pale and like maybe one like crutch. Humors,
yeah.
I don't know what it is, but like he has that vibe to him.
Totally. Yeah. Definitely in these seasons he does. Yeah. I does think there is like show? A thing about him. He is unwell. It's interesting that you picked up on that.
I don't know. He just had the vibe.
Should we
compare, contrast? Do you have more thoughts about Gossip Girl off the bat that you want to talk about?
I guess I just want to like underscore that like as far as like choosing things that are like culturally momentous, I do feel like Gossip Girl was like very talked about in the time that it was on air. It was like a big deal. Yeah.
Constantly. That's why it's like I knew everything about it without ever having to watch the show.
Right. And I feel like it was also like the kind of it was the kind of show where adults loved to talk about the fact that like teens were watching it because it's like very edgy and very, especially the books are even edgier, but like the TV show, like there's talk about sex, there's talk about drugs and drinking. It's very clear that like these like privileged kids are going out and partying, but then there's this question of like, but how are they getting into bars and how are they whatever?
Well, it was just like the whole like the icon that is them hanging out on the steps of the Met like every morning. Because it is, it's an iconic image, right? Of like everyone still goes to the Met and takes photos on the steps and like it poses like they're freaking Blair and Serena. And that's the, like the thing they've also brought back, right? They've like they did a reboot for HBO Max, and like again, like it's certain very like iconic things about it that just sort of stayed in the cultural psyche.
The outfits were also big, huge. Like I remember like really and like headbands were huge for a while because of Blair Waldorf.
It launched them all into like absolute stardom.
But yeah, I do feel like it was like people used this as a way to talk about like how teens are like horrible and like whatever because of
like. But I'm also watching like these, like I'm watching these characters and like I have, as a former teen myself, nothing in nothing in common with them. I'm like, this is like, it's a different race of human essentially. Like,
yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that that was also the appeal of the books and the show is it shows this like elite lifestyle. That, yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. And in the book, it's like, and this, like you see it in the show, but like Dan kind of has this like glamorous, like the other side of the tracks lifestyle of like they live in a much smaller place. It's not as nice, but like the differences aren't quite as drawn out as they are like in the book. of like his like kind of seedy background and him like going to this school and feeling out of place.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, they kind of collapse that.
But yeah, anyway, I should do some comparisons.
Yeah, let's do some comparisons. So obviously, I feel like I say this every week. Obviously, the big comparison is...
Well, we do have like the huge comparison, which is about like the end of the parsha. It's this just whole story about talking behind some... Like, it's a very vague episode, and we rely so much on like the commentators to understand what's happening, but it basically boils down to like Miriam talking about Moshe in an unfavorable way. Like when she's not supposed to, and not talking to Moshe about it. She's talking to someone else about him, and God intervenes and is like, don't talk shit about my best friend, you skank.
Right.
Which is very Gossip Girl, I feel like.
So Gossip Girl. Shows like this omnipresence of God that we like don't get that often, that like God is like really present in those like one-on-one conversations, because it's just Miriam and Aaron like talking about their brother. But it's also like unclear exactly what the criticism is, because Miriam just says like he married a Cushite woman, and it's like there's a question of like, is that Sipora? Is that another wife? Like, what are they talking about? And then that there's this immediate follow-up where they're like, do we not also speak with God? Like, why is Moshe special? And so you're also like, why? Yeah, what are they really talking about here?
Yeah, I just want to go back. Like, it's a really interesting point of like, we have God's like omnipresence and like knowledge. What's the word I'm looking for? Omnipotence?
No, I don't remember.
It's not omniscience.
Omniscience. There we go. I'm like, I always forget one of them and it's omniscience, which is ironic.
But like, we see that when it's like Adam sins or Adam and Eve sin or like Cain sins and then God pops up and already knows what's happened, but like prompts that thing. But this is really a case of like, they're just talking smack between the two of them. And it's like, imagine if like every time you talked shit about like your sibling, God was like, no.
Right. There's also, because they use the word pitom in one of the, in when it like says it's like, and suddenly God like called to like Aaron and Miriam and Moshe to like go to the tent of meeting. And it's just like funny, because it's like, what does that mean suddenly when it comes to God? Because like, what, isn't it always sudden? Like how,
And then you've got this like weird scene of God calls all three of them to the, to the tent of meeting, whatever it is.
But then he only talks to Miriam and Aaron.
And so is like Moshe just waiting outside? Like, is Moshe waiting inside because they're outside? Like, what is it? Like, the dynamics of the scene are always just so interesting of like, what the hell is going on?
Well, and like how awkward that thing where like you're, which like, I think we could probably also draw a parallel to the Gossip Girl episode of like how awkward when two people are getting in trouble for something and you're there because you're like tangentially involved, but you actually didn't do anything wrong, but like you're involved in the situation and therefore like you're like watching them get chewed out and you're like,
like when you're like friend's parent like yells at them in front of you and you like don't know what to do with yourself.
Right. Because like they're not getting mad at you because you're not their child. Yeah. But you're like, and well, you, I was also splashing water around the kitchen because we were having a water fight.
But it's just like such an intimate moment of like between two parties and you're there and you're like, don't know what to do with yourself. Like, totally. Oh, the West. And obviously we compared it to Gossip Girl because one, gossip, it's in the name. Two, this episode is about like the relationship dynamics and like the back and forth.
Yeah. The way I feel like this is like the example of, it's unclear how the Lashon Hara that happens. It's also like, what's the difference between Lashon Hara and gossip? Am I boring you?
Shoshana, I'm just tired. I've been sleeping well because I was so back.
Anyway, this shows like the effects that gossip can have on people in a negative way, right? Like that, like, it's assumed because Serena was the one who was seen buying the tests that it's her who's buying them, and then that affects her relationship both personally and like other people are approaching her about it, but then it's really about Blair, and then because it's about Blair it comes out this other piece of information about her private life and the way both of them like react to being in the public eye.
It's just it's such a tangle web they've weaved in that episode.
Yeah.
Because, like, Blair's got two, like, Nate and Chuck, both, like, she slept with both of them in the space of a week. Again, like, very interesting just how they relate to, like, teen sexuality versus today. Like, it's not that long ago, but it's, like, worlds apart. And then you've got, like, like Serena's trying to encourage Blair to like take the pregnant, like that's the missing piece, right? Of like,
right, like Serena somehow knows that Blair has missed her period,
right? Because you assume that like Blair's just like been complaining about things, and Serena herself has pieced together like what all of these symptoms are, and then like buys, like unprompted, buys her a pregnancy test, and right. Like, and it's just like the blurred lines of the like the relationships in these shows was like, it was overwhelming.
Totally. Well, because
and then she goes to Chuck and she like tells Chuck about it, like you have to get her to do the pregnancy test, and then like it's like, well, how dare you, like you go, yeah. Like this is your best friend, you're not gonna go and tell,
right? And it creates this whole situation where then like Serena is like, I'm taking this public hit for you,
right?
Because I bought these pregnancy, yeah, tests. But then it's like, but if you bought them unprompted, and she's like, Blair has to take the test, like she, right, has to know. And it's kind of like this, yeah,
I don't know. I feel like watching this show without all of the context is trying to like understand the parsha without mefarshim. Like, interesting. You need like I need the help to like fully chup exactly what's happening.
I feel like the only thing that you're missing really is that like Blair was supposedly like saving herself for Nate. And one of the reasons they hadn't had sex yet is because Nate and Serena had sex right before Serena left.
Oh my God. When did she leave?
Well, it's like she comes back the very first episode as like her reappearing back on the scene. And then there's this tension between Blair and Serena because Serena just kind of like up and left because she and Nate had gotten drunk and like had sex. And then she like didn't want to tell Blair, and then whatever, they made up from that. And now Nate and Blair are still together. But then Blair had been saving herself. But for some reason, Nate, maybe because Nate still had feelings for Serena, he like wasn't having sex with Blair. And so then Blair ends up having sex with Chuck, but then like the same week Nate like is ready to have sex with her. And so then like she,
crazy, I wish, yeah, I knew all of this watching that episode.
Yeah, it's quite the drama. It is very complicated. And Blair and Chuck had sex in a limo, so Blair lost her virginity to Chuck in a limo.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Go piss, girl.
Yeah, for real. But I feel like that's the only context you're really missing. It's just because all of those
stuff
dynamics
with like his dad, and I know that there's a dynamic between like Dan's dad and Serena's mom.
Oh,
like,
but not yet.
Not yet. Yeah. Okay, because I remember that as well.
Oh wait, no, but they used to date.
Yeah, they used to date.
Yeah.
Also, his name is Rufus. Like, grow up. That's disgusting.
You're really judgmental for somebody who named their child Leroy today.
Leroy.
Please. Leroy. Not better.
For context, we had like a role play thing in class about teachers and parents, and my partner in the project named my child for me Leroy, and I insisted that it was pronounced Leroy. And I only did it the once. I was like, please, it's Leroy. But then after that, as we were like deconstructing it, like our teachers were saying Leroy with like all seriousness.
Yeah.
And like, every time Matt, like the guy I was doing it with, it said Leroy, I was like laughing because it was just very funny. Anyway, Leroy.
Anyway.
What else is there?
Well, so I think like the confused information is like a really clear parallel for the Bamidbar 12 situation, because like we talked about, it's like unclear exactly what what Miriam and Aaron are criticizing Moshe for.
Yeah.
There's also like the gap between like, is Moshe, or I keep saying that, is Aaron implicated because, right, he doesn't get punished. I actually, in Chumash this year, I came upon a realization that like, I think God is like kind of obsessed with Aaron too. Like he, like, I think, this is funny, I said this to Yarden, and she was like, this is a weird word choice, but he like idolizes Aaron because,
like, with the golden calf as well.
The golden calf, yeah, exactly. Like, he also doesn't get punished. I was like, this is one of those, it's like the Harry Potter thing where, what if the books were written from Hermione's perspective?
Right,
I feel,
yeah,
like it's like we could have the Torah, but from Aaron's perspective.
Right. That's so interesting.
Yeah, because Aaron is like implicated in that he also gets summoned to the tent, but like the verse opens with Tidaber, meaning like it's like Miriam said, yeah, to Aaron, or like Miriam and Aaron were speaking, but Miriam spoke first. And then like some Mefarshim say that Aaron did have a punishment because he was the Kohen Gadol. He's the one that should have been like working with Miriam when she was outside of the camp, but he couldn't do that because she was his family member. And so that he did have a punishment, but it's not really explicit in the text. Yeah.
Right. I guess it's also really funny that like Aaron is like in like the Talmud scene, like described as like the peacekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like when we see him in the text, he's like not that at all, right? Like with the golden calf, he just like literally makes a golden calf of people.
Right. Well, and it's like
and
crazy.
And here he's just like we don't see him defending Moshe, right? We don't see him, like you said, like doing anything to stop her from speaking. Like you think like the peacekeeper would. He just sort of like is letting her rant, it seems.
Right. And then like later he's the one who turns to Moshe and says like, what, you're going to let our sister like be like somebody who's half dead? And like Moshe then goes to Hashem and says, okay, can you heal her?
Yeah.
Which then Hashem is like kind of angry about, but does.
Well, because what I was thinking about like in terms of a comparison was like the difference between like you and me talking gossip about someone and like public figures doing that and like the optics of getting caught.
Mm.
And I think like some random woman buying a pregnancy test in New York City is not going to create a fuss unless it's someone who's like very well known. That's the thing I don't understand about this show is that like about America and New York specifically of like this socialite culture of like you're only famous because you're a very fancy person.
I love that phrasing, you're fancy, and so
right, like, that's what it is, right? Like, isn't that socialite culture where like you get just like the whole like inventing Anna thing, like that whole subculture of like
totally
if you hang out with the right people and are seen at the right spots, then you're like inducted into this,
right? People are like kind of interested in
people
your
write
life.
About you in the paper, right? You're in like this, like in the scene sections, all of that stuff. And I think you have to, like, live your life very differently, right? You can't be caught talking, like, badly about someone because it'll get reported on. You can't be seen, like,
buying pregnancy
like,
tests.
Like, she gets pepped right away. It's, like, it's the same as this beginning of Crazy Rich Asians, right?
Where,
like, he's in a restaurant with a girl and he's, like, totally unassuming, but someone recognizes him.
And therefore.
And by the time he's walking out of the restaurant, like, everyone knows about it.
Yeah.
And I think, like, that's part of what this is that Miriam and Aaron, like, should be holding themselves to a higher standard, right? Like again, if I would talk shit about my brother, it's not the same as, like, Miriam talking shit about her brother, who is, like, the leader of the Jewish people, and Miriam is also a public figure of the Jewish people.
Right, it's like that thing from Mean Girls of, like, that's only okay when I say
exactly.
It just, like, but I think that it is, in that way, it's strange because it could also be two siblings talking about their other sibling is like a more intimate relationship. And I think like it always comes back to the question of like, what is Miriam expressing when she says that we have like so little information about like, what is this Cushite woman? Because of the relationship to the conversation before about the different prophets, there's like a midrash that says that Zipporah, Moshe's wife, turns to Miriam and goes like, woe to their wives, because, and it's implied that Moshe has stopped sleeping with Zipporah because he's spending all this time with God, and so because he needs to be purer for his interactions with God, he can't like fulfill his husbandly duties. And then, so some of our teams say that like Miriam is concerned about this and like goes to Aaron. And then it makes sense why in the next sentence she says, like, are we not prophets as well? Or like why they say to each other, because then they're like, well, we haven't stopped sleeping with our spouses. So it's an interesting parallel as well, because in Gossip Girl, we're talking about like who's sleeping with who and like what the consequences of that are. And like, but again, because we get like so little in the like actual text, it's hard to know. But I think, like, that to me shows concern from Miriam for, like, her sister-in-law. And she's saying to Aaron, like, wait, have you, like, been given this same directive? Are we doing something wrong? Is Moshe, like, not fulfilling his duty? It, like, feels like that, like, women whisper network thing that, like, is my struggle when we talk about, like, Lashon Hara of, like, sometimes gossip serves a purpose.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Well, like, that can bring us to, like you introduced me to this podcast called Normal Gossip, right?
Yeah.
And like sometimes it's just really nice to hear a good juicy story
and not be like involved.
I think it's like two levels of like one. Sometimes like these whisper networks and things like that do serve a purpose, but like that isn't in my eyes like gossip or Lashon Hara, right? Like that is passing on like needed information mm-hmm. to save other women from like facing
sexual assault,
exactly,
or, yeah.
or like whatever it is. And then you've got like just gossip that's gossip, right? And like this, so Normal Gossip is all about like the premise is everyone like likes to listen to gossip, so like here are really juicy stories that you have no connection to, that you can just like listen to low stakes because you know nobody involved and enjoy listening to like this nice story that like you would pass around to your own friends.
Right.
And I think it's so interesting because it's like, yeah, sometimes like I think the difference between, and again, like I'm assuming that like the rabbis aren't going to agree, but the difference between like Lashon Hara and gossip is just like Lashon Hara is like feels it's like, right, it's like evil language, right? It's malicious, like,
right,
to talk about somebody behind their back for a malicious intent versus like I talk about with my friends all the time. It's just like you talk about the people in your life that you know and you like analyze them and
right.
you, like it's a funny story involving them, right? You know what I mean? And like, and I can feel myself the difference when I talk like for the sake of talking about someone versus like for the sake of like it's a funny story or something like that. Like there's like you can feel the difference
for sure. And like I think that's the example in Gossip Girl. It really does feel like Lashon Hara because it is like them like trying to hurt each other by
yeah.
like sharing personal information.
Yeah.
Whereas like that's my other struggle with like the way Judaism talks about Lashon Hara, because like in Sapiens, it speaks about this, that like gossip is a really key part of evolution, and that like one of the ways that humans are able to maintain so many relationships is because one of our interests is talking about each other and right. communicating yeah. about like other people who are in our community.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it doesn't feel malicious. It feels like very natural. But I was listening to Normal Gossip with Yarden, and she was like, but it's not really gossip anymore, right? Because they like talk yeah. about in one of the episodes, like the things they do to anonymize it. And so it's funny because I was like, because she's like, wouldn't anyone listening to this who's like tangentially involved know exactly who these people are? And I was like, well, they say they like do certain things. They like obviously change all the names. They change some certain yeah. key details. They tell the story in a specific way. But she was like, but it's not really gossip anymore because you're like, because you don't really have that same involvement. She was like, it's just a good story.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it's just clever branding to call it Normal Gossip.
Well, I have gossip about Normal Gossip.
Oh, tell.
Which I feel like I've told you before.
Oh, yeah. Well, have we talked about it on the podcast?
I don't think we've talked about it on the podcast, okay. But I listen to a different podcast that like is part of, like they produce a bunch of other things now. And one of the new shows they're producing is basically just a knockoff of Normal Gossip, but it's got like a huge brand name behind it. It's got people pushing it like on different podcasts. And it's the exact same premise, just with like a guy doing it instead of like a gay guy, instead of, you know, two women talking about the gossip. And I messaged them and I was like, I'm sorry, like what's going? She goes, like, we're choosing not to like talk about it or like
yeah.
lean into it. And, like,
you messaged the normal gossip account
being
Instagram,
like,
yeah.
guys, like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I just think like that's crazy.
Yeah. On the most recent episode, they had the two hosts of Who Weekly come on.
Yeah.
Which is also interesting.
To the full episode. I haven't listened to the. No
okay,
spoil-
I'm not
no
gonna
spoilers.
Spoil it.
No spoilers.
I'm not gonna spoil it.
It's one of the orchids, right?
What?
The orchid one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't finished it.
Anyway, but because I listen to Who Weekly as well, and it's interesting because
yeah.
it relates back to what you were talking about like people in power, or like when we're talking about celebrities, right? Because
right.
the whole premise of Who Weekly is like they differentiate between who's and them's, like celebrities
right.
who are like, oh, them, like you know who they are,
right.
versus like who's, who are people who are like B or C list celebrities. And so they focus on this gossip that's like on this much smaller scale, but that it's still people who live in the public eye. And so it is like an interesting, most of those people are trying to be famous, and therefore like being on a show like Who Weekly is like a total positive for
right.
them.
and that question of like fame and like who's in the spotlight and if the things that they want to be talked about them are in the spotlight or not.
Right. Like, I think like that's a third piece of this maybe is that like Moshe as a public figure, right? So it's not even about like what Miriam's doing as a public figure, but like the way we speak about famous people is so interesting. And like the investment we have in their lives of people we don't know. And so much for so long has been completely manufactured. And then we moved into this space of like social media, and it's even like, for some people it's even more manufactured. And for some people it like sort of takes away a lot of the like enigma around celebrity. Yeah. But then you've also got things like Dumois, right? Which is this huge Instagram page that deals with blind items, and blind items have been around forever. Right. Like I remember in high school being, there's like a bunch of blind item websites. Mm-hmm. The difference is that those websites are usually from reputable sources. You know, someone in the industry, they've got like the same few people who sort of contribute when they hear things because they hear it through the right networks. Dumois people sent, like, it's not at all verified information.
Right.
A lot of the time it's like they won't put names, but they'll put suggestions of who it might be. But right. A lot of the times they do put names.
Certain Marvel celebrities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
it's also like sometimes totally like random stuff, like so-and-so seen at this restaurant.
Exactly.
Like we're really nice to wait staff. Like it's just like, it's totally stuff where you're like, this is just weird.
And sort of just, the way that we've approached these blind items has completely changed because we'll just believe absolutely anything that anyone sends in. They're not at all verified. It's, recently someone did like a deep dive on who Dumois is because apparently it's really easy to figure out. And it's literally an Instagram that someone launched during quarantine and rebranded themselves from an old Instagram page they used to have. And now they just talk about celebrities all the time. They have a book deal. They have like a podcast, like huge money in it now.
Right. Well, and it's because it's the same thing. Once you've like, it's the same thing as Gossip Girl. It's like once you've established yourself, then people are like running to, because like, and you'll see it in the messages to Dumois are like, oh my God, so excited. First time to be able to say like, Anon, please, like whatever. It's like people are like so excited to be able to be the one who's like
breaking the news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, for sure.
We just had an experience where I got to be that person. Do you remember after? Now I can't like give any more specifics. I like came to like this group of people and I was like, I have the hottest tea.
So that's the thing. It's like, it happens all the time. I've done the exact same thing like several times with people. I'm like, you'll never guess. Like, I cannot wait to be the one to tell you this, like sitting on information.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, I love gossip.
I know. I love it. And I don't want to feel guilty and for loving it.
And I always bring you little morsels of different things.
I love it. I think it's good because we at Pardes have been in like kind of two, like we
overlap,
span the spectrum of like the people that we're friends with. And so then it's like,
so we all have a lot to bring back.
Like juicy things.
And then it's also like, I've given you information of like people you barely know.
I love that too. And then just that's like, the best. That's why normal gossip works.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Back to Parsha stuff. Yeah. I think, one of the other interesting things that the commentators do with the parasha is like they go out of and they do this a lot obviously with people who we revere as like holy people or important characters, and trying to make them good,
right
and like morally like okay in their actions. And then the parasha like go out of their way to talk about like Miriam's doing what she's doing for pious reasons, whether it's like she's trying to hint to Moshe in some way that what he's doing to his wife is wrong, whether she's wondering if she should also not be sleeping with her husband as much, like you were saying. If it's again, like it's out of affection for Tzipor, all of these things, whether like we know who the Kushite, if it's a different person, if it's not, whatever, they go out of their way to be like, what she did was like, she had good intentions behind it. She ran about it the wrong way. Very similarly, I think Serena first, like listening to her friend's symptoms, buying unprompted a pregnancy test, trying to get her to take it, and then going to the guy she slept with to try and get Blair to take the pregnancy test. Like, good intentions. She clearly loves her friend, but like, buddy, this is not how you do it.
Right.
This is not, like, it just completely blows up.
Well, and I think there's like, there is a kind of a twisted version of friendship that exists in Gossip Girl, because like the episode starts out with like Jenny coming home to her brother and being like, have I just been trying to be this person's friend for a year and she doesn't like me? And right. It's like this funny thing of like, but were you trying to be friends with her because you like her yeah. for status reasons? And so then like, but then, and then there's this trade-off at the end of the episode when Blair kind of like has been shamed that yeah. then like Jenny moves up in the ranks.
Right.
It's very strange.
And there's also the whole like, and I think I'm just realizing now, right, is that they're teenagers. Yeah. Teenagers do dumb shit all the time.
Right.
But you forget it because they're so dressed up all the time.
Yeah.
They're played by people who are almost 30.
Right.
But at the end of the day, well, like, they're 16, 17. Like, of course they're going to make stupid. Of course she's going to go to Chuck, like, and not have any yeah. sort
no
of...
boundaries.
No boundaries, yeah. no forethought, no nothing.
Right.
But yeah, wow, what a show. I love Leighton Meester so much.
Yeah.
Her acting, super iffy a lot of the time. She's very, like, she started doing, like, more comedy-esque things. Like, she was in Single Parents. I think she's fantastic in Single Parents. Great show. It got cancelled way too soon.
I don't think I've seen it. What's it on?
It was on, I think, like, ABC or something. You could probably find it. I think it might be on Hulu now.
Okay.
But it's, like, Taron Killam, Leighton Meester, the really tall brother with a deep voice from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Okay, yeah.
Brad something. And it's, like, all parents who are, like, single but in, like, different ways. So, like, yeah. one of them's divorced. One of them's just always been a single mom. One of them is a widower, like, all of those things. And it's, like, all of their kids become friends. And, like, they sort of help each other raise their kids. And then it's, like, their different dynamics and the kids' it's, like, nice. Very cute and very fun. And she's very funny in it.
Okay, cool.
And then she was also in a gay movie.
What movie?
With, is it Gillian Jacobs? But I think, yeah. It's called Life Partners.
That sounds familiar.
Where I think she plays the gay one.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, she's great. Huge fan. Also, she was born in prison. There's my fun fact about Leighton
yeah,
Meester.
Yeah, what is that?
Her mom was, like, in prison on drug charges or something when That's she was wild. Born. And she was born while she was in prison. And then, like, I think her grandparents raised her for the first couple of years while, like, her mom...
That's crazy.
...got out of prison. Celebrities, they're just like us.
Yeah, just like us. Okay, I think we've done a pretty good job of breaking this down. Should we look at some of the hot takes that people send in?
We've also got, like, the random other, like, tiny parallels we could do first, like the run-through.
Yeah, let's do the run-through and then...
Okay, run-through. First of all, the beginning of the parasha talks about the preparation for the tabernacle, for the, like, people who are going to work in it, and that's what we said, like, the shaved bodies and, like, they have to go to the mikveh. And that yeah. it was just very, like, in a sort of meta way, I guess, of, like, sort of the rituals that people go through to get ready in the morning, especially when you're, like, fancy, right?
Yes.
And so, like, you don't necessarily see it on camera, but, like, to be...
Right, when you show up at school and your hair
exactly,
is curled.
To be the
and
Blairs
like,
and Serenas of the world, you have yes. to go through a lot of different preparation right. rituals early in the morning. Especially if you're a woman, there's a lot of shaving involved as well.
Oh my God.
All of that stuff.
So much shaving.
Second, that we talked about, like, the trumpets that get sounded for different occasions. And I compared that to, like, the voice, like, the current, like, I guess that's a third one. But, like, just, like, all of the text notifications that are always going off the second that there's a bit of drama, there's, like, an alert in the right. world. I guess also the third connected to that is, like, the, again, like, the omnipresence of God talking to Miriam and Aaron, like, hearing everything, and, like, this Gossip Girl character who, like, hears and sees everything, and you've got Kristen Bell's voice as, like, the narrator who also sees everything and, like, is telling the audience about it. Miriam is sent into mini exile due to the gossip and the fallout punishment. Blair, at the end of this episode, is like, I have to go to France now. I got to do a semester abroad to escape yeah. all of this shit. So she sends herself into a mini exile almost, but then she doesn't go in the end. You wrote.
I wrote like the pillar of cloud and fire. And then I was like thinking about the duality of like Blair and Serena, right. like Serena is yeah. like the like manic pixie dream girl, a little bit like free spirit yeah. bohemian. Whereas like Blair is like very like preppy and yeah, just a totally different stereotype. Yeah. Someone that's uptight, controlling. Serena's laissez-faire.
Nice. Laissez-faire. Cool. I think it's a solid comparison.
Yeah, I think it works.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what we got from people on the Instagram. We got Nate is only like a 4 out of 10.
I get it.
This is lukewarm at best. This is Lexi and Mayan had the same thing that Nate and Serena should have ended up together. Fuck Dan.
That they was didn't? Lexi. Wait, who did Nate end up with?
I think Nate ends up with someone else. Okay. I don't really know.
Who does... And Serena ends up with Dan.
I don't remember what happens in the end, to be honest. We got... Mary said Dan is the worst character.
Nice. Thanks, Mary.
Chuck Bass wrote Coherent.
It's very funny.
It's so funny.
How dare you? Everyone says Dan is the worst. Simone also said Dan is the worst character. Yeah.
Rachel just said Chuck Bass.
But with $2 signs. Yeah.
We got some hearts from Devorah, so I assume that means that she loves Gossip Girl.
Mayan also
maybe
says,
she's the one who wakes up and watches it first thing in the morning.
Mayan also says that Dan's dad is annoying. And you know what? I think I agree. That guy is annoying.
And then we have, this is also a good point. Chuck was a rapist and no one ever talks about it. I think that's more in the books.
Was he?
Yeah. In the books, he's like, again, much seedier, like a much worse character.
Interesting.
Yeah, I agree with those hot takes.
Well.
Thank you to everyone who wrote in.
Thank you, everyone. We should do that more often.
Yeah. You know what? When I remember, it's when really remember. Fun.
Okay, what are we doing next week?
Next week, I think, is finally A Bug's Life. I keep saying that it's A Bug's Life, and then it keeps not being A Bug's Life.
Is it? Come on. Next week is A Bug's Life. Wah, wah, wah. Nice.
I've been suggesting this movie for... Hershey-oat for weeks, months. So I'm thrilled. And this will be our first distance.
Well, second, I guess, second and third.
Cause we didn't like, are we going to add a segment of the podcast that's like 2 minute life update?
We can do that.
Okay. Or we could just do that offline.
Okay. I guess we could do that with everyone.
Yeah.
They're also invested in our lives. I'm just crazy. It's crazy that we've like figured out through to the end of like Vizad Habracha exactly what we're doing for everything.
I know.
Well, what a time. Okay, here's the thing. We can discuss this offline.
Yeah.
Okay, bye guys.
Okay, bye. We love you.
That was it. Bye, little burps.
Go tell someone some juicy gossip. Go piss, girl.